Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. I hope everyone is having a great start of the day. It is 2 p.m., which means it's lunchtime, so I hope that everyone had the chance to get something to eat. And you know what? Surprisingly, there's a lot of sun outside. In the morning and yesterday, the weather was not great. There was a lot of rain, very wet, not pleasant at all. Yesterday was quite cold. I was surprised by how cold it was. But this morning, I came outside to come to school, and I realized that today's weather is pretty warm. So I was happy with that, no complaints. And then once the afternoon hit, that's when the sun decided to come out. So great weather today. I think every week at the time of my show, it seems like the weather is opening up, which is great because I always get to remind people to go outside and enjoy the sun, the heat, you know. Right now is, as I mentioned, a very stressful time. Midterms are coming up or have already finished. But believe it or not, we actually have less than 1 month of school left. So I hope that everyone is kind of tidying up a lot, getting things organized, studying for your exams and assignments, and, you know, beginning the essays. I know that I'm getting ready for a lot of things to wrap up the school year. And I just can't believe that my third year is already coming to an end soon. It's really, really, really bizarre to think how fast time goes by. And, you know that cliche quote, you know, if you don't, you know, recognize that, or if you don't stop and look around, you're going to miss it all. And I think right now is a time to kind of reflect back on how your school year was, how your 2024 year is going so far. We're almost hitting the half mark of this year, which means summer's coming soon. Speaking of summer, I am so excited, but also kind of nervous to start this summer. Obviously, you know, I'm going to be doing some schoolwork and, you know, I'll be working. But also, I actually called my younger brother yesterday and I think I might, you know, go for another trip to Toronto. I really loved my Toronto trip last year. As you guys all know, I've made 2 episodes of this trip that I took last year. And I think I would be very open to going on another trip again this year. I think the time that I'll be leaving would most likely be around mid-June, which is going to be a little hot, but that's fine, and probably take around 10 days, in Toronto and then come back. So I'll take maybe a trip to Toronto. I'm sure that many of you guys have some plans for what to do during the summer. And for those of you who are graduating this year, I want to sincerely congratulate every single one of you guys, whether you're students at UBC or any other institution, whether it's in Canada or in other countries. As a junior in university, I can totally and comfortably say that being a student at a university is really, really tough. You know, it's not just the academics that will get you, but it's more so about the lifestyle and how many things you need to balance between your classes and your personal life and your work life and all that sort of stuff. And I think it's really crucial and a really big turning point in your life to get exposed into this kind of lifestyle and learn how to cope with, you know, different things in your life and learn the skill to balance all these things. And for, you know, for those of you who have successfully ended the school year and are graduating, you know, that is evidence that you were able to persevere through that process and really push yourself to the limits that you didn't even know that were there. And I'm sure that those skills that you all have learned throughout your career at university will benefit you throughout the rest of your life. And I hope that it does, because, you know, I think it's great to gain something from, you know, university or anything that you do. So congratulations to every single one of you guys who are graduating this year. I hope that the rest of whatever you're planning goes well. And you know what? I think it's also totally valid for every one of you guys who are graduating to, you know what, take a break. Take a break from school. Take a break a little bit. You know, travel is always a great option. I love traveling. Or I would love to go travel some more. And I think you also learn a lot from traveling as well. And if you are wondering what I'm talking about of what I learned through my Toronto trip, the episode is in the website of CITR.ca. I also want to say Fun Drive has ended about a month ago, and I want to let you all know that you can all still donate to CITR by going to the CITR website and donating. And I cannot emphasize how much help we get from all the support that you all give us. And I also want to explicitly say on my show that we do not take any of that support for granted. We all thank, you know, we all feel thankful for every single one of you guys who put in that effort, you know, put in the time to come to our station and, you know, take a tour or, you know, donate or attend our events. We all appreciate that. And it really, really helps us tremendously drive through, you know, continuously every year and strive to be better and try and evolve in a way where we can make our community more accessible and more helpful, you know, creating more resources for everyone, you know, to benefit from. So I just want to say thank you to everyone, not only for supporting Fun Drive, but throughout the year. You know, we are coming to a wrap of CITR and Discorder 2023-2024, and we are having our AGM meeting on Thursday this week. So if you are a CITR member, please come on down, attend our meeting. And I'm sure that we'll have a lot of fun. You know, we're electing new vice presidents and presidents for our CITR and Discorder. We're going to elect some new board members, I believe, too. We'll have some food and drinks. And I think we'll have like a small event at the end as well. I think it goes from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. 6 p.m. to 8, we'll have those meetings that will take place at the Nest Atrium. And then the rest of the time will be in the CITR and Discorder station, where we will be doing some sort of event, I believe. So please come on down, check it out. If you're a member, you can attend the meeting. You know, I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people that will be attending the leadership positions that are being offered this year. You know, they are some great candidates. I will also be running again as president this year. So I'm excited for that. You know, I came last year, wasn't elected, but you know what? I'm going to try again, give it another shot. So come on down. If you have been listeners to my show and you think that I am a great candidate, by all means, come on down and vote for me. But if not, I think that this year there's going to be quite a lot of people that will be running for these leadership positions. And without a doubt, I believe that every single one of the candidates are completely capable and are wonderful, wonderful people that are extremely talented and deserve to be in a position of leadership at CIT Underscorder. So if you want to know who's running for the leadership positions, or if you just want some, you know, food and some hangout time with other members, please come on down, the AGM meeting. Again, it'll be happening at the Nest Atrium at around 6 p.m., I believe. So if you want extra detail on what's going on there, feel free to come down to the station and ask anyone here, and they will probably know or help you with that. All right, so for today's episode, I will actually be reading over my inciting incident for a novel or a short novel assignment that I'll be writing for one of my classes. It's kind of an expansion for my episode where I read my outline for this story. So I'm kind of expanding on that, and I will be reading over the inciting incident, or the, you know, I guess you can say the point where the character is forced to go on this journey. So I'll be reading over that for you guys today. I have two songs ready for you guys to listen to. And you know what? I want to bring some fun facts back. So why don't we end off with some funny fun facts and end off the show there. You know what? Before we get started, I just want to say again, the weather is just so, so beautiful outside. I don't think there's any clouds in the air, so it's just sky, blue sky. You know, there's some sun. Speaking of the weather, one of the trees in front of my house actually broke, and it seems like there was a lot of wind yesterday, a lot of wind, a lot of rain, so sadly, one tree kind of just got broken. But anyways, the weather is great. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of wind as well. Sometimes wind gets a little irritating, you know, it messes up your hair. You know, that cold, cold wind just doesn't feel great at times. But today it seems like it's pretty windless. Judging by no really movement with the trees, and the sun is out. And I also want to say hello, Grandma. I know you're listening to all my episodes. I always feel grateful for every one of my family members who tune into my episodes, but especially my grandma. She's always engaged and is always curious of my episodes. So I just want to say hello, Grandma, from Korea. I hope you're doing well. I don't know if you're awake right now because it is quite early there, but if you are, good morning. All right, so why don't we get into the meat and potatoes of the show and get started right here. So here's the station ID, some ads, some PSAs, and some show promos. And once we get through these, we'll get through it. So here we go.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam Nisiaya,
and the Sakuya to lead in Homasquim Stale. At 11 a.m. every Wednesday, tune in to CITR 101.9 FM. For Radio Arts by Danny Gall, a series featuring artworks made especially for radio broadcast, presented by the Belkin Gallery at UBC and the Polygon Gallery at the Lonsdale Quay, in tandem with two exhibitions of major works by the artist. Composed of a vast archive of sound documents, these broadcasts invite us as embodied listeners to consider the relationship of political events to acoustic events. They can be understood as both historical documents and musical compositions in the tradition of music concrete. As the transmission unfolds, we hear a full spectrum of Gall's approach to making art for radio. From selected episodes of Different Time, Different Pitch, Different Place, commissioned by Documenta 14 in 2017, to the two-part radio play entitled Vertiginous, commissioned in 2023 for the podcast series Uncertain Groundlessness, Navigating Dizziness Together.
Wrestling fans, let's get ready to rumble!
Boom Pro Wrestling is coming to you live from the Great Hall at the Nest on Friday, March 22nd. Wrestling maniacs of all ages are welcome to watch these talented fighters duke it out at UBC. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and bell time is at 7:30 sharp. Enjoy the cash bar as you cheer on your favorite players. Visit boomprowrestling.com to purchase your tickets. And hurry, because this event is sure to be a knockout. Don't miss Boom Pro Wrestling at UBC campus on March 22nd.
Duck Club presents Treefort Music Fest, coming to downtown Boise March 20th to 24th, 2024. Lineup is out now, featuring musical acts Channel Trace, Ty Segall, Nico Case, Frank Moody, Kristen Maroney, Drama, Dead, and so much more. This five-day festival features over 400 bands, plus comedy, yoga, food, beer, art, films, drag, and more. Full lineup, ticket packages, and more information at treefortmusicfest.com.
Turn your radio to the CITR 101.9 FM on a Tuesday, specifically at 1 p.m. or 11 p.m. for saxophone Hello Primiti or saxophone Lenui. Hosted by moi, accompanied with the improvisationalists, saxophonists, composers, and musicians of our great era since the 70s. Featuring artists such as Anthony Braxton, Albert Taylor, Solange, Ghostface Killah, Ornette Coleman, Sonny Rollins, that's 1 p.m. or 11 p.m. on a Tuesday to listen to saxophone a la Primiti or saxophone Lenui.
All right, welcome back, everyone. My name is Jeff, and this is another episode of Lean In with Jeff. As I mentioned, today's episode is going to be me sharing the inciting incident of a story that I am currently writing right now. So I hope you guys enjoy. Just a little bit of background information. It is about a kid named Arlo who has to go on a journey to get a glacier gem, which is basically a gem that will help him save the climate crisis that is currently going on in his world. And he goes through a lot of complications with his father, who left him a couple of years ago with no real reason, but Arlo kind of finds out that his father was actually gone for him and his mother's protection and was actually saving the world. I hope you guys enjoy this inciting incident, so why don't we begin? Arlo finally stepped inside the comforting embrace of his home. He quickly made his way to his bedroom, seeking solace in the familiar surroundings. His room was a sanctuary and was a haven where he could escape the harsh realities of the outside world and just be himself. The walls of his room were painted a calming shade of blue, adorned with posters of his favorite adventure novels. Shelves lined with books stretched from floor to ceiling, their spines worn and dog-eared from countless hours of exploration. A desk cluttered with puzzles and notebooks stood in one corner, a testament to Arlo's love of problem-solving and mysteries. With a big sigh, Arlo plopped down onto his bed, grateful for the cozy comfort it offered after a long day. He kicked off his shoes and let out a relieved breath, feeling the tension start to melt away. With a cheerful tune escaping his lips, he grabbed the mystery behind the unknown rocks, a book he'd borrowed from the library that same day. As Arlo dove deeper into the pages of his book, a sudden crash from downstairs broke the peaceful atmosphere. Frowning in confusion, he reluctantly set the book aside and trudged downstairs to see what was going on. Arlo opened the door and he noticed the mail scattered in the front step. Gathering it up, he brought it back into the house where he sorted the pile on the kitchen table. Among the jumble of envelopes and flyers, one stood out for Arlo. A pristine envelope with a striking foreign stamp. It also featured a majestic image of Madagascar's iconic baobab trees against a backdrop of a vivid sunset. With trembling fingers, he tore it open, revealing a round-trip ticket to Madagascar, a destination he and his father, Gabe, had always dreamed of visiting together. Arlo found a letter inside the envelope written in Gabe's handwriting. The letter began with the words, "My Solver," a nickname Gabe used to call him. With his eyes widening in disbelief and his heart racing, Arlo continued to read. "My Solver, I wish I could explain everything, but time is running short. You need to go to Madagascar and find something called the Glacier Gem. It is the only thing that can save the climate crisis, and you are the only one who can use and handle the Glacier Gem for good. I'm really sorry, son, and just remember, I love you and Mom. Love, Dad." Initially, Arlo couldn't help but doubt the authenticity of the letter. I mean, there's no way Dad would want me to go there alone to save the world. And what does he mean that I'm the only one who can handle this gem? What even is this gem? A moment of silence followed as Arlo's smirk faded, replaced by a growing sense of uncertainty. But what if the letter was real? Arlo suddenly stood up and began to think. He knew he needed to check if the letter was real, and to do that, he needed to know about his father. He started off by rushing to the attic, a place in the house that will most likely have some sort of clue. With determination in his eyes, he began his search, pulling one dirty, dusty box after another. Among the old photograph and forgotten trinkets, he only found glimpses of his family's past, but nothing about Gabe. "God, there's nothing here," Arlo muttered, frustration bubbling up inside him. But just as he thought about to give up, he spotted a box tucked away in the very right corner, labeled with Gabe's full name. With a sense of anticipation, Arlo eagerly opened the box and began to sift through its contents. In the box, he found a familiar drawing, a family drawing he had sketched in kindergarten, a simple yet precious reminder of the happier times. Arlo's expression softened into a gentle smile, his heart gradually slowing in its rapid pace as he found a sense of calm. He sat on a nearby box, and as he gazed at the drawing, memories began to flow back. As Arlo closed his eyes, he could hear his father's laughter and even smell the comforting scent of cedar wood that used to linger on his wool coat. As tears welled up in Arlo's eyes, he quickly wiped them away when he found out a white, beat-up folder beneath the drawing. While squinting his eye, Arlo opened it and discovered a trove of information about the Glacier Gem. Inside were photographs of his father holding the gem, his face alight with pride and determination. Arlo's breath caught in his throat as he read the title of one of the research papers. Gabe Young, first person in 98 years to use the Glacier Gem. Arlo fiercely stood up and took a huge gulp of his saliva. For so long, he had wondered why his dad had left, and now it seemed there might be an explanation. A wave of relief washed over him, but it was quickly replaced by worry. How am I going to tell Mom about the trip, let alone about Dad? Just as Arlo was about to come up with a solution, he heard his mother, Terry, calling him to dinner. Arlo put back the research papers, grabbed the letter, and headed downstairs. Arlo, could you please clean up after setting the table? You left all the mail scattered around. Did you get anything important? Terry asked as Arlo reached the bottom step. Arlo slowly approached the table and put the letter on top. Yes, there was something. It was a letter from Dad. Terry's movements stopped abruptly, and she turned to face Arlo, her face frozen. What did you say? She asked, her voice almost a whisper. So that is the inciting incident of my story. You can kind of tell that there is a lot of tension build up there when he goes into the attic, when Arlo goes into the attic, and he begins to search and find evidence of who his father was, what kind of relation he had with the Glacier Gem. And later on, he goes into this conflict of how he's going to tell his mom about the trip, because his mom in the previous outline is mentioned that she is not in favor of his father because she doesn't know the truth about him as well. All she knows is that his father, is Arlo's father, had just kind of left them without any real notice, without any real reason. And for that, Terry kind of resents Arlo's father and is not really fond of, even meeting up or talking about him. The story is kind of following a hero's journey kind of format where Arlo is the chosen one. His father was one of the few people that were able to handle the Glacier Gem in order to save the world. And it seems that, you know, looking at the letter, the word handle is very crucial because it kind of gives the connotation that Arlo is the only one or is one of the only special people that can actually, you know, obtain the Glacier Gem, but also use it in a way that is going to help the crisis that's going on in the world. So a lot of things to unpack here, obviously, but it's kind of the beginning of Arlo's journey. And we can kind of see that, you know, the journey, obviously, the core of the journey is him going to Madagascar and finding the gem and saving the world. But there's also a journey of him, you know, learning how to communicate with his mom about this tough topic. Because I think at the end of the day, it was a topic that would inevitably appear. And I think it's a great way to kind of segue into that conversation, you know, a bit early, I guess you can say, and make that sort of topic more comfortable. And now that Arlo kind of knows and has evidence of who his father was and kind of has a justification for why his father behaved that way, I think there's also a possible foreshadowing of the patch-up of Terry and her husband's relationship and possibly his whole entire image towards the family and that kind of switch up. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that outline. I definitely had a lot of fun writing that. And I think writing stories, there's a lot of things that you should consider, whether it's character dialogue or, you know, when you want to kind of hint at those certain turning points. So right now I'm actually writing the turning point of the inciting incident. So it's going to be towards the end of the story where there's going to be a scene, Arlo is kind of forced to switch perspectives or show some sort of character development within himself, or there might be an influence that affected Arlo's development. So a lot of things that are going to be taking place in this turning point, but I think the one thing that I want to focus on is it's going to be crucial and it's not going to be expected. And I think that's what turning points are great for, is it's kind of a way to express the unexpected and, you know, kind of give that surprising element into your story and give the readers a sense of excitement and wonder while they're reading your story. So that was it. As I mentioned, there are two songs that I have prepared for you guys for my show. And as you all know by now, I am one of those people that don't really listen to a lot of songs. But when I do listen to songs, I usually listen to a couple on repeat. And that's kind of the case right now. One song is actually from Jeremy Albino, who is a Canadian singer-songwriter that I interviewed a couple weeks ago. Fantastic, talented person. And I think, you know, this song I really, really loved. So I'm going to turn on one of this. And then there's another song from Jesse J called Domino. I really love this song. It really gets the mood up. It really gets you, you know, going, dancing and, you know, bringing up that excitement back. So we'll listen to this song. And I also be listening to the lyrics of Jeremy Albino's song and some things that I want to share that I really found really, really engaging and really interesting, because I think once you kind of pay attention to the lyrics of the songs, you really start to catch up on really interesting observations and how those lyrics influence the entirety of the song. So why don't we get through with the listening part of the songs? I hope you guys enjoy this song, and I'll see you guys in 3 minutes. So here we go.
Still can't find the words to say. Keep our distance day by day. Work the same old 9 to 5. Just watching as the time goes by. But I know.
You I'm Waiting On by Jeremy Albino. Very, very great song. I really love that, you know, those loud, you know, sounds. And then there's a point of the song where the sound is kind of decreased and then the vocals are overriding and then it kind of switches up. You know, that sort of switch up I really loved in the song. And I think one phrase that I really like is knocking on your door. I think that's what the phrase was. I think the knocking on your door gives a clear image of, you know, the action that's, you know, taking place. But I think the really, really interesting part of this phrase is that every single one of you guys will think of a different image of what a door is and how you're knocking and where you're knocking and which hand you're using. And I think these different imaginative processes that we all go through when we listen to a certain phrase kind of defines who we are as people. And this is what art is. You know, it's really something that we can all listen to and make different interpretations individually and feel different feelings. And knocking on your door is kind of like, it gives like that sensory detail of sound, but also feeling, you know, what it feels like to knock your knuckles on the door. Is it wood? You know, is the door wood? Like, what texture is the door? All that sort of, you know, imaginary things that we think of when we listen to these certain phrases. You know, it can be a very simple phrase like this too. I think it's like four words, but, you know, we can go on and describe what we felt and what we saw and what we feel, you know, in that story or in that phrase. And I think that's the thing that really comes out to me. And when I listen to songs, I try to imagine, you know, these certain phrases and not only think of it in the protagonist or the character in the song, the main character in the song, but also in my perspective as well. You know, I'm kind of emerging into this scene of story that's being presented in a song or in a story or in a book or anything, in a movie too. And I'm trying to put myself in their shoes and see how I react and how I interpret things and what kind of things that I feel or think about when I'm, you know, being exposed to this sort of artwork. So I think I do highly encourage people to kind of go a little deeper and be fully merged into a certain artwork and a piece and see what kinds of reactions you get from that. And I think you learn a lot about yourself during that process. And it's very exciting too, you know. A simple 3-minute song can be expanded to hours of conversation and hours of reflection. And I think that's the beauty of art. So the second song is from Jesse J called Domino. I recently stumbled this song in Instagram. Very, very exciting song. I love it. The beat, you know, the rhythm, the sounds, you know, the vocals obviously are amazing. So why don't we kind of listen to this song? It's kind of like a throwback, I guess, because I have not listened to this song in close to 10 years, if not more than 10 years. So why don't we get through this song and see how you all react. So here we go.
I'm feeling sexy and free. Ooh, 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 ooh.
That was Domino by Jesse J. Wow, that was exciting. I hope you guys had some fun listening to that song. I really like that song. Very exciting, you know, the beat and all that. You know, it's almost like you're in a club and you're just dancing carelessly. And I think sometimes, I don't know if you guys all do it, but sometimes I just, you know, listen to these types of music where there's like strong beats and just dance around, you know, in my room if I want to or just whatever. But, you know, sometimes it's a great way to just relieve stress. And I think everyone needs some sort of method in which you take that helps you relieve that sort of stress that's going on. Because what are you going to do? It's just going to pile up in your body and that's not healthy. So find your own way to just release that tension in your body and just relax and have fun. But I think this song really does that for me. I've been listening to this on repeat, you know, but I hope you guys enjoyed that song. It is a throwback, I say. I just searched it up. They released this song in 2011. So I was, you know, I don't know, like 7 years old, maybe. But yeah. All right. Let's get through some funny facts. Fun facts. Funny, fun facts. Bringing back this segment. I really like this segment. You know, I learned from a lot of it. Interesting things to do. I think that fun facts are a great icebreaker too. Just go up and just say, like, do you want to know a fun fact? And who doesn't want to know a fun fact? You know, everyone wants to know a fun fact. So just go ahead and just, you know, say your fun fact, and then that kind of sparks the conversation, depending on what the topic was for the fun facts. Maybe don't pick a topic that's too weird, but sometimes those topics work out. So I guess I can't really say what sort of topics you should choose from, but I don't know. I mean, if you kind of end up using one of the fun facts to use as an icebreaker, you know, go ahead. I think I want to try it out as well. Okay, so the first one is snakes can predict earthquakes. Apparently they can. Snakes are the most reliable sensing earthquakes from as far as 75 miles away, which is calculated to be 121 kilometers. Insane. You know, I think that studying animals is a great, great thing to do, because you soon realize that the superpowers that we have embedded into our minds, a lot of these characteristics, or at least some of them, I think, derive from real-life animal survival techniques and defense mechanisms. And I think sometimes learning about these stuff is really, really cool. You kind of get creative with it as well. Maybe you can kind of use those powers or expand on those powers and write your own sort of superpower. Okay, next, another one about animals. Crows often hold grudges against specific people. Apparently, crows can tell us apart, and we would find it difficult to distinguish one crow from another. So I guess be careful with crows. Be careful with all animals, too. Don't try to irritate them. Leave them be, you know, have them do their thing. Apparently, crows can know, you know, they know who you are. It's kind of scary at times, but, you know, that just says that animals have facial recognition, and so they should be treated well. And I think all animals have deserve, you know, the good treatment from everyone. And I don't think that any animal should be, you know, looked down upon in any other way. All right, the next one is not about animals this time. It is about us. You get goosebumps when you're scared to make yourself look bigger. Now, I'm sure a lot of you guys know that animals have this defense mechanism. I think a certain type of frog or a toad, I don't remember the specific species, but they do have a defense mechanism, if I remember correctly, where they inflate themselves to make them look more intimidating, which I'm very familiar with, this sort of defense mechanism. But it seems that we humans actually have this sort of mechanism as well. And goosebumps are a reaction to increased adrenaline, which is why we get goosebumps when cold or emotional. And although we don't really need them now, Our ancestors would have needed them when facing off against large beasts before the age of humanity began. Apparently, this is a fun fact. Pretty cool. It would have been cool if we kind of turned into something like the Hulk. That would be really cool. Because, you know, Goosebumps, you can barely see. You know, you really have to get some sort of microscope and dive deep into the skin to really look at what kind of bumps you kind of got. Okay, the next one. And this one is actually, again, about kangaroos. I think I remember doing a fun fact about kangaroos before. But apparently, if you lift a kangaroo's tail off the ground, it cannot hop. Again, I think tails are, from what I remember, are a very, very crucial element to an animal because it helps with their balance. And I think that's kind of the correlation we have here, where characters or kangaroos' tails, if you kind of mess with that, that can, you know, mess with their mobility. Now, apparently the description is, there are cases where kangaroos have lost their tails and can still move around, but it took them a long time to adjust and they can only move small distances at a time. So, I guess the lesson here is that don't mess with kangaroos' tails. You know, it can mess with their mobility and their movement. And I don't think it's a great thing to do that to an animal, especially for a kangaroo, which is an animal that is very, very greatly active. All right, everyone, that is it for my show today. I am just continuously getting distracted by the sunlight that's coming out from outside. So I hope you guys all have the chance to go outside, enjoy the sun. Please go ahead and enjoy the sun, you know, enjoy it while you can. I hope that midterms and exams and final exams go well for you guys. Again, the AGM meeting is happening this Thursday at the Nest Atrium. So please come down. If you are a member, you'll have the chance to vote, eat some good food, hang around. There's going to be some events. So stay tuned with those stuff as well. I'm here every week, guys. You know, just remember, you know, I'm one of those people that won't leave unless I have some sort of really, really important thing. But I do my show every week, guys. I'm here at the same time every week. I'm present. I'm trying to give out the best content as I possibly can. And, you know, my show is a spoken word show. So I want as much engagement within myself, but also with you guys as well as an audience member. So again, 604-822-2487 is the phone number of Studio A. So if you want to engage with a conversation live with me on radio, I'm here. I will pick up. 2 years into the show now, not a single phone call, or at least a spontaneous one. So it'd be great to, you know, have at least one come in. So if you are tuning in right now, if you just want to say hi, feel free to call. If you don't want to call now, next week I'm going to be here. So yeah, I hope you guys all have a great rest of the day. And I will see you all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
Just one love up and hug up your girl like that. Boom, boom, fat. Boom. Yes. I don't know.